Hi and welcome to this new episode of Dreamers and Doers, where I interview Anne Claire, who is a naturopath. And it was super interesting, her story to become one, and then what we can get out of naturopathy. We also talk about how she became a holistic coach and really care about contributing to the world. And we finish with her experience with open relationships and exploring different ways to have love relationships. Hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Hi, and welcome to episode number 48 of Dreamers and Doers, where I interview people who follow their passion and use it to make a better world. And I think that's you, Anne Claire. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alex. I'm very happy to be here today.
Thanks. So you're a naturopath?
I am.
And a coach?
Yes.
And we'll go to start with a bit into your story, to know a bit, yeah, where you're from and what led you to naturopathy.
Okay, let's do this. So what happened to me is that I suffered from insomnia for many, many years, mm-hmm. and also anxiety, and I had stomach pain and all these problems that I couldn't find solutions for. And at some point, it was so bad that I decided to go to a hospital in Paris. I live in Paris. And the hospital sent me to a naturopath, like a natural doctor, kind of. And I realized that I was very lucky, because in France, it's very much all about conventional medicine. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky to find this doctor who told me that I could find in natural medicine some good solutions for me. And this lady was awesome. Okay. She had these groups all about people who can't sleep. And within a few sessions, I finally found solutions, really, really simple solutions, but that made a whole difference in my life.
Okay. And had you tried some more like conventional Western medicine ways?
I felt like I've tried everything.
Yeah.
And I was taking drugs to sleep and everything. It was working sometimes, but it was always failing at some point, as if my body would adjust to the drug and then I couldn't sleep anymore.
Working on the symptoms, but not the causes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. And so then you got really interested in naturopathy because it worked for yourself. You wanted to bring that.
It was amazing because not only I could sleep, but then I lost a little bit of weight and my skin looked better and I had more energy and my digestion got better. Like everything finally was aligned.
Okay. Can we start with defining naturopathy?
Yes. Naturopathy is the natural system of traditional medicine from the Western world. Like in India, you find Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. In China, you find Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, you find naturopathy. Mm. So this is the ancient natural medicine.
Okay. Is it very similar to Ayurveda or Chinese
medicine? Yes and no. Because all of them, they get interested in how you become sick. Mm-hmm. And this is the main common ground. Mm-hmm. And then they have different ways to treat you. Mm-hmm. But all of them are about getting a good rest, mm-hmm. getting the good food that you can digest, mm-hmm. you and only you, because mm-hmm. we're all different, and getting good ways to eliminate the toxins out of the body, okay. and good balance between your mental and emotional activity inside. So all of them are based on these four pillars.
So for example, with your insomnia, concretely, how did naturopathy help you?
Well, I had to find my rhythm again. It's like I was out of rhythm. I
didn't know how. Like your circadian rhythm?
Yes. And also I didn't know exactly what to eat and which exercise to do for my body type.
Okay.
And I was really emotionally unbalanced too.
And so the first step is like you check what your body type is and what's right for you personally.
Exactly. It's very personalized.
Okay. Are there like kind of standard body types? I think Ayurveda, you know, you say you're more fire or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is there something
well,
similar?
In naturopathy we have that too. But, you know, we're all different. So mm-hmm. you are in a body type, but then you have your own stuff. Yeah.
And what kind of tests do you do to know?
Lots of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, about how you sleep, how you digest, how you eliminate your toxins, and how you get balanced.
Yeah. So it's more about how you feel, how you what you experience, rather than blood tests or saliva tests?
Well, sometimes we ask for that, but not always. Sometimes, more often, the questions are enough. Because that's a lot of questions. Like, a naturopathic session lasts an hour and a half to 2 hours. So we get to know each other. Yeah. In comparison, when you go to a conventional doctor's, I think it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The average session is like 15 minutes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, but we need to get to know you.
Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah, so you have that holistic approach to medicine. And for you personally, what did you do? So you said like nutrition, exercise, so like rhythms that suit you. So how did it look like?
Well, the most interesting thing for me was to start really listening to what was happening inside. I don't think I was doing that before. I think I was acting from my mental area. So it was like, oh, I think I should do that. But I was not really listening to what my body needed. For instance, starting to eat the right food at the right time changed everything. Like now I'm no longer eating when I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I'm only eating when I'm hungry. That makes a huge difference in your keeping your weight about the same, about your capacity to digest, about your sleep. It changes everything when you start to listen to what you actually need.
Yeah, when I advise people on changing nutrition habit, for example, I think a cool exercise is like writing down how you feel 2 hours after your lunch, for example, because then you'll make that connection between what you ate and how sluggish you may feel in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. And start to listen if you're hungry or not. Lots of people are not hungry. Yeah. They just eat because, you know, it's time or it smells good. Yeah. Or they get annoyed by something or bored and then they need to eat, but they're not hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have that a little bit. That's why that's actually why I do fasting sometimes, is to kind of reset. You're like, hey, you're eating too much. You're
yeah,
not
exactly.
In control of that enough.
Yeah.
Do you fast?
Sometimes, but not for a long time. Okay. I have a pretty healthy lifestyle and I don't feel the need to fast for a long time. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So then you made it, your job.
Yeah, I didn't plan that. What happened is actually that I had a job previously. I used to work for dating websites. That was my previous job.
Okay.
And I loved it, so
and
I didn't want to change it.
It connects with what we're going to talk about at
life
the end of
fun.
The interview.
So much fun. And what happened is that at the end of my studies, I was offered to write a book because I wanted to help someone to write a book. Yeah, that's something very interesting, because people ask me, how did you end up writing books? And what happened is that I offered my help to someone, an Ayurvedic doctor from Sri Lanka, and he wanted to write a book, but he didn't know how to. And I had the skills about writing and communication, so I just offered him to help him. But the book didn't happen.
Okay.
But I met publishers, and one of them called me back and said, hey, do you want to write Naturopathy for Dummies? And I said, yes, of course
that's
I want
cool.
to.
Yeah.
This is how it happened. And that's,
so cool.
that's what is a really good lesson for me, that if you show up and if you genuinely want to help and if you genuinely want to contribute, then life is rewarding you with something. That was a big lesson.
And we're going to talk about contribution, because that's something you're passionate about.
Yes.
And just to finish on your insomnia, what did you do? Because insomnia can be a problem for people.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel it was like, do you have 2-3 things you felt you did that really took care of that insomnia?
First thing first, you must sleep at night. And if you try to catch up during the day, then it's messing up even more with your sleep.
Yeah, I think they showed that we have captors behind our eyes, and basically the light impacts a lot our sleep. So if you try to sleep like too late, if you sleep with the cycles of the sun, you'll sleep way better.
Yes, you will. And also, if you want to get back into some kind of rhythm, you have to force your body into the rhythm at first, so that then it becomes more easy. The mistake I used to make is that I would catch up with my sleep whenever I could, like, oh, now I feel I can sleep, and it was the middle of the day on Sunday afternoon, and so I would do it, but that's a mistake, because then from Sunday to Monday I have an awful night, and then my week is messed up. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So even if you're tired, you don't catch up during the day.
Yeah. Not even a nap? Because sometimes I take a nap.
If you're really insomniac, you shouldn't be napping.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You can nap if you're tired, if you're really sick or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, just, you know, stay active and then you'll sleep at night.
Okay.
If you do also the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So for you, mainly the like keeping that cycle was the main thing for
yes,
me.
Yes, and really that. Listening to the body, yeah. what it needs. I think I used to eat too late at night too, and maybe too heavy. Because one problem is that when you don't have enough sleep, you really want nutrients. Like, oh, I don't have enough energy, so I'm going to feed myself to get energy. But you don't get energy from the food. You get energy when you rest. And I didn't know that. And now I do. Like, if I'm a little bit tired, I can feel that I'm really craving for sugar. Like, I love chocolate. So I really go for chocolate, but then I know that I'm going to be down again.
Yeah.
Because what I really needed was rest.
And do you feel like, for me, I have quite a self-discipline approach to these things. That's why I fast. And for you, you seem to have a more listen to your body. And that's something I'm really curious about. Like, did you start with self-discipline a lot? And then it became more easy to just do what's right for you?
Yes. Yeah. Because I had no plan B. Like, really, I had only one plan, that was the A. Yeah. I had to get better. Yeah. So I gave myself a few months where I would do anything that the lady had told me.
Okay.
Like, I did everything she said, and that's it good. Worked. I think at first you need to be a little bit...
strict, committed, disciplined.
Yeah. Gather your inner authority and truly decide that, it's going to work.
Yeah. I think discipline gets you started for sure.
Yes.
And then the more you go, the more disciplined... Isn't that discipline?
Yeah, then you get more flexible. Yeah. Oh, it's okay, I'll get a dessert. Yeah. And it's okay, I'll go to bed later.
I mean, now I don't have to force it to have like the quinoa salad instead of the burger.
Yeah, me too. it's the same. We then first, love the healthy stuff.
Okay, well, thanks for this. And just when you started to write your first book, did you have this something I'm quite interested about, because something I experienced myself too is what you call the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I find sometimes like the book can be a milestone where you can be like, who am I to write a book? Or did you have any doubts around
of
it?
Of course,
like
plenty.
Not feeling good enough?
Yeah. I was only 32 and I just graduated from naturopathy. And I thought, oh, they're giving me the book, but they could give it to someone that is like 20 years experienced or, you know, but why not? I always knew that from the beginning I learned naturopathy, something happened that was so big, it was so good for me, that I knew it was too valuable to keep it for myself. So I just went for it. I mean, it's okay. And it's okay also to fail. Like, I was not very much afraid to fail. I wanted to try something.
It's beautiful. So that really came from that place of contribution. Tell us about how important contribution is in your life.
For me, it's much more important than me. That there is something that is much bigger. I'll give you another example. Just 4 years ago, I was not on social media. I was not on the internet. I was nowhere because I didn't want to be found. I wanted to stay hidden for multiple reasons. First, I thought I didn't have anything interesting to say. And then in my personal life, something has happened to me that made me want to hide. Like, I didn't want to be found on the internet. But then I felt that it was so big, and that the message of you can heal yourself and you can truly be who you want to be and you can take care of yourself was bigger than me. So I had a meeting, I remember, between me and me. And one day I decided that, okay, I will no longer hide and I will show up.
And I had, like, since then, I guess, been more of a spiral of helping more people and having more impact.
Yes. And at first I was scared, so I would share just a little bit of my journey and a little bit of who I am and a little bit of the wisdom I've been learning. And then I got so many messages from people thanking me for sharing and telling me that they got inspired, that then I was less afraid and
that's
I started to share.
Feeling, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's beautiful. People are writing me from all over the world that they read something or they saw me on Instagram or whatever. And they said, oh, I like what you do. Thank you.
I find that's a feeling I didn't know before starting my personal growth brand. And like, it's like so many people at first when you write, you're like, oh, like, think people are gonna judge, people are gonna say this, say that, and it's gonna happen, you know.
But
there's like so many people also who are going to just reach out, like, privately and be like, hey, yeah, I love what you're doing, or being like supportive.
Yes. Also, there is something very nice that happens. Like, if you get a bad comment, there's a community. You're not alone. Mm. And lots of people are going to comment and say, hey, I disagree with you. Mm. And then there is a whole ecosystem of people who are supporting you, what you're doing. Mm. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I can feel that. That's good.
Yeah.
And to keep going on the naturopathy, what do you think... Like, I feel that to me, the more I dive into nutrition and like drugs and pharmaceuticals and our Western medicine, like, let's say Western, like, usual medicine, that is something really wrong. And that's why I'm quite interested in Ayurveda, in naturopathy, because I feel like we're always curing only the symptoms, as they were doing with your insomnia. And from the moment something is actually curing the cause, I think because it doesn't make any business sense to promote something that cures the cause, we keep curing the symptoms. And that actually that there's a place for this science, but that often it's a bit misused. Like, is it something you felt as you studied naturopathy?
The system is what it is, and it's very hard to change a system that is so strong. Mm. Especially, I come from France, and the system is really, really strict, and this is very hard to get out of it.
Yeah, because then, like, the whole system would be, there's a lot of money involved, and obviously, like, a lot of our taxes would go to the pharmaceutical companies and the whole system like this.
But, you know, lots of people suffer from chronic disease. Mm-hmm. If you get a chronic disease, then usually the conventional medicine doesn't have a solution for you. And or they will give you a drug, and then you'll have side effects, and then you'll have other conditions. So that's not sustainable. You cannot find solutions there. And lots of people get aware of that. So they get into traditional medicine, and they find a traditional doctor, a naturopath, or an Ayurvedic doctor, or a Chinese medicine doctor. And I think there is a whole movement of people who are really looking for solutions that are empowering them.
Yeah.
Because this is all about it, getting empowered and getting to learn how you became who you are, what happened to you, your habits, maybe... you know, lots of people say that, oh, I have this condition because my mother has it. Yes, but have you been living like your mother? Have you been having the same habits?
Yeah.
It's not only that you have the same genes, but also you have the same life.
Yeah.
What if you change? What if you decide that something else is possible?
And you have the belief on top of it, which adds a big nocebo effect. I mean, that's real. If you think everyone is in your family is having one type of cancer, and you're sure you're going to have it, you're probably right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. I think all thanks to, you know, people like you and social media, and at the time we live in of fast information, and I think like lobbies and the establishment still have a lot of control, but like if we share like our opinion and some people resonate with it, I think things are changing very quickly. Like things like naturopathy, meditation, breath work, all these things that that we don't talk about. I've never been told about like meditation or breath work before, like 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, these things
are
becoming
getting
very
more
big
and more popular. Like yoga, of course, would be the main one.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a bit about love relationships also. Mm-hmm. Because maybe before we go into this, let's look at the holistic thing. So you're a naturopath, and that's mainly what you've been doing and what you've been writing about. But your next book is going to be about love relationship.
Yes.
And you also consider yourself more as a holistic coach, like naturopathy is kind of the doorway to then helping people have a beautiful life.
Yes.
Is that how you see it?
So what happened on my journey is that I got to listen to myself and really learn who I am.
Yeah.
And so I went into therapy for many years. It's not only naturopathy.
Like psychotherapy.
Psychotherapy and also transgenerational therapy, like freeing myself from ancestors, some kind of heavy suitcases from the past.
Yeah, because psychotherapy, we don't look into like any collective consciousness.
Yeah,
or ancestry.
No. Yeah. So I had to go to another layer.
Yeah.
And then I kind of regained my power of, yeah, I can do whatever I want in this world. Like I can truly contribute with what I want to share.
Stepped into your power.
Completely.
As a divine self.
Yes. It changed something, like something opened, like a new path opened. Mm. And I felt that I was really in charge of what I was manifesting in my life. And then I became a coach and I started to help people. So I stopped doing naturopathy last year. And I started to coach those who help others. Mm. So now I coach naturopaths or acupuncturists, mostly people who have those kind of jobs because they're in my field. And I help them feeling empowered and feeling legitimate to help others. And then on that...
So removing those limiting beliefs, I'm not good enough to help others. Or
exactly.
I don't have anything interesting to share.
Yes. Yeah. But you always have something valuable to share with others because you have overcome something that was important to you. And you can always share pieces of wisdom and ask others. Because, you know, we know usually what we need to do to get better. But we usually don't do it. Or we get blinded by something.
Yeah.
But if we ask the right questions, then it's like we can remove what was blocking the sight and then we can move on. So we can always be the light on someone's journey so that they can see further.
And there's that saying, if you want to help someone, you don't have to be like the very best. You just have to be a step ahead. And sometimes it makes you even more relatable.
Yes.
So if I look at someone who's like, who I want to be in 6 months or a year, that might be more relatable than looking at Tony Robbins or the most famous coach, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Like my coach is just a few steps ahead of me. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm inspired. Exactly.
Nice.
So to go back to your question, what happened is that I felt that I was much more empowered in my life. And then I started to look at my love life. And I thought, oh, what's happening there? There are some places where I'm not empowered. So I started to read more and to research more. And I started to notice that I had some kind of behaviors that were not were not serving me.
Okay.
And I started to take notes and inquire that more. And then I went to my publisher and I said, hey, what if my next book is about love? And they said yes.
Nice.
And I'm very grateful for it. So I made space in my calendar for that. And I started to inquire more about what is love. And what comes from the energy of love, which is the energy of life, the most powerful energy that comes from the heart. And what actually comes from the wounds of the personality that have been hurt.
Would you say it's interesting? Usually there's like two energies that are defined by as the most powerful. Some people say it's love. Some people say it's sexual energy, or maybe it's like...
It's related.
They're related, yeah.
Yeah. And what I learned recently is that, you know, the fear... is actually the absence of love. It's like some kind of emptiness that leaves us hopeless. But then if we can just fill the kind of hole, which is the fear, with love, if we manage to do that, then we are empowered again. And yeah, that's my journey. So I've been researching that, and this is awesome.
Yeah, and I would add, like, you know, you talked about contribution, like this often there's distinction between contribution and significance. I know for me, sometimes I wake up and I do things out of significance, like I'm not good enough, I need recognition.
Yes.
Or sometimes I do it really like from place of contribution, and everything's easier when I do it from contribution. So
yes.
I try to catch myself when I'm from significance, be like, stop.
Like it's good that you can see
or
it.
Breathe or do something where you put have perspective and,
yes.
you know, I don't get caught in that. And I feel the same with love and fear. Like if you create something out of survival fear, it's going to be harder. And even if you're chasing success, it's probably like it's a bit paradoxical, but it's a bit like you probably have more if you don't chase it too much.
Yes. But I think it's okay to to be ambitious.
Yeah.
If you put your ambition at service to contributing to a better world and to give some light and and help others, then it's okay.
Yeah.
You can be ambitious.
Oh, I think we
need it.
Yeah.
We need it in this world. Otherwise, we wouldn't get
Yeah, that's
get
what
up
I stand
create.
For. Same with business, with money. Like, hanging out with a lot of conscious people and spiritual people. Like for me, my tribe is really these people that take action, who are ambitious and keen to go big, because that's how you change the world. That's how you make an impact. And if you shy away from money, business, power, influence, well, then you don't change the world the way you want to change it.
Well, about money, I can share something about it too. Because going back to studying again, which I did many times because I continued study and I still continue, so it's costing me. Mm-hmm. And so at some point I was kind of sick of living in a very tiny apartment in Paris, and I felt really like, okay, what am I really doing? Should I be building something else? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm over 30, maybe I should make more money, I should maybe sometimes think about buying an apartment or everything. And it became very stressful. And I read something with that was Gabby Bernstein. Do you know Gabby Bernstein? She's American. She's like a spiritual leader, and she said something like, "My great work needs to be financed." And it kind of switched something in my head. Like, "Hey, yeah, okay, I'm planning on serving, so now my great work needs to be financed."
Yeah.
And I started to welcome more abundance in my life when I. Every time I commit to like going to a new workshop and really commit to making the space in my life to grow and to learn and to share, then every time I would get enough money to buy it.
Yeah.
But if I try to hold the money and if I'm acting out of fear, then I can feel that it's shifting inside again and I get scared again.
Yeah, so that's what you call the from the scarcity mindset to the abundance mindset. Yes. I know about it because I made that switch like a month ago. It's obviously never like completely fixed, but I read that book called Earth is Hiring by Peter Kelly, and she was doing some network marketing. And then I also, when I got into it, then I started reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is a
I read it too.
And then it was just at a point it hit me, it was like was really good to live with little. I think I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, me too.
It taught me to get gratitude and appreciations for the little things in life. But from that place then, it was like, okay, now I know I can get that gratitude and appreciation. I know what I want to do in the world, and it's going to be done well better, way better with money for. Like for spreading my message, money for paying. A big thing was also paying the activities of people around. Like I had a friend, for example, she's doing like a men and women circle, and she was like, "Oh, you can come for free," because she saw I was like a bit struggling. Like I don't want to. I want to pay. You know, I want to support her, right? And so supporting, like doing these experiences, and also supporting whether it's charity or a shaman or anyone like here that I want to support, being like happily pay for it and seeing it. It's really a switch in your mind. Instead of pay, now every time I pay, instead of being like, I pay, that's money off my accounts. Like, I'm so grateful to have like this amazing meal served in front of me, and I'm able to just pay, like give a piece of paper in the end for it. Yeah,
I think it takes practice.
Yeah,
I think it's something we need to practice every day, and at some point it's like integrated. Like, oh yeah, of course, yeah. Now I'm more in an abundant mindset. Yeah,
that's nice. And to go to love relationships.
Yes.
So, where are you at? How did you start into it? I'm really interested because actually, I think usually, on the path you master yourself. Like, you know, through meditation, nutrition, personal growth. But then there's a stage where you're like, okay, I master myself, but we're all in that interdependent reality, right? And so great things aren't achieved by one person. Just me, like, it's also working with all other forces, and one of the biggest one will be other people. So relationship, whether it's business or whether it's love. And that's something recently I've been more interested in. That's what I want to delve into. I started to join a lot of community of like-minded people, helping them, getting my success vested with them. But also I haven't looked that much, but I wanted to start looking into Tantra, which is more also about, well, relationship intimacy with yourself, but also with others, and especially intimacy. Yeah, that's something that I liked. So, so you said why you kind of got a bit interested into it, but then what was the story then? What did you find out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, knowing better who I am, and now I know better what I want in my life. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I only want to be surrounded by, not only, but mainly, surrounded by people who are like-minded, just mm-hmm. like what you said, people who have worked on themselves mm-hmm. and that are open-hearted. Mm-hmm. And this is why I mainly travel to Bali yeah. and Koh Phangan and all these places where yeah. actually we can meet people more easily and where we can talk from the heart.
Yeah.
And on that journey, I had met several men who have become my lovers. Mm. And so this is brand new for me, yeah. being in open relationships. And yeah. I've been learning so much because mm. I used to think it's a shallow thing.
Yeah.
I used to think it's for people who are kind of avoidant and don't yeah. want to commit. And yeah. I was looking at that, like from afar, I would think like, oh, what are they doing? This is really messy. Mm.
Yeah.
And then I realized that it was much more interesting than I thought. Mm. Because this is really taking responsibility for your own emotions and really owning your story. Mm. And also offering the best version of yourself in a relationship. And it's like therapy. Like,
yeah.
it's crazy. And if you really commit to walk that path, this is just amazing how much you discover about yourself. Mm. And also it creates a really big intimacy. Because you need to explicit everything. You cannot just assume that the person mm. knows what you're thinking about. Mm. Actually, it's the same in monogamous relationship, but we just think that it's okay and that yeah. we don't need to explicit everything, yeah. but maybe we do.
Yeah, yeah. And there's obviously something often a bit broken in the, I think, the expectations people have of these monogamous yeah. relationships.
Yeah.
And do you feel this is something you're gonna just that suits you not, it may change, or do you think it's something you'll keep going?
Actually, I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes I think, oh, is this the evolution? Like, now that I understood that, yeah. is it like what I'm going to continue? Because it seems like very much into the expansion of the heart. And mm-hmm. so I feel that it's serving also my spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Or is it just a phase of exploration? Mm. And mm. then I will no longer to, I mean, I'll have my teachings mm. integrated. And then maybe I can move on to another phase, mm. which could be a monogamous phase or maybe a hermit phase mm. with no lovers. I have no idea. Mm. I'm yeah. looking at that with lots of curiosity.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm doing at the moment something called the Life Book by Mind Valley. And you split yeah. your life in 12 areas. And there are some areas where I have pretty good idea of my intention and where I want to be, like in 5 years, in 10 years. But love is one where I'm like, exactly, I'm like, I probably need to want to explore a little bit because I don't know if ideally in 5 years I'm like you, what you're doing, like having open relationships, if I'm you know, married with children, like, or like, I don't know, having a family raised by a community, I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we can never know. Yeah. And we do have expectations that have been created by what culture offered us, mm-hmm. like Disney mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Hollywood. And the songs and the movies and everything has contributed yeah. to put pictures in our head that we yeah. think is going to bring us happiness, mm. but it does not. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing where I question. So, for example, when you take like, okay, advertisement, Coca-Cola is going to, everything is about it's going to bring you happiness. And this is obviously a lie to get, that's good for business. But when it comes to relationships, it's very hard because even when you look, there's been like very different ways. So. Like for me, for example, if you look at the traditional way, I'm aware that it might be because it's been presented to me as the ideal that I could be chasing it, but I'm like, yes. maybe it's something that's right for me too.
Maybe. Really,
yeah.
You will only know if you try.
Yeah.
And also you can ask yourself, what am I going to get? What do I think I'm going to get if I do that? Mm. How am I going to feel?
Yeah.
And then you can inquire that feeling. Mm. And how can you get that feeling in another way?
Yeah.
You know, maybe what you're looking
it's
for is...
It's a lot about security.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is how you look at security. Sometimes you can look at security as, if I need security, it's needy. Like, you know, like that's probably something to fix on myself. But sometimes I'm like, well, you know, like it can be, it's nice sometimes to have a bit of certainty and security too, so...
Yes. Well, about that, mm. I figured that having multiple relationships yeah. is actually quite safe, depending on who you choose to share your life with. Because if you find people that you can fully, truly feel close
true,
to
actually.
And intimate to, and that you can rely on, then everything is fine and the safety is here.
That's true.
So it's not a problem. Mm. And you can feel very much unsafe in a conventional monogamous couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting, because my perception that I just shared with you was actually flawed. It's true. That's like, oh yeah, that's more safe. That's I said, but actually it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that it's the most difficult thing to do is dropping the ideas that we get about something and just, you know, trying to remove each time that we get expectations and stuff. Mm. We just kind of wash it and just make a blank page and say, hey, okay, I'm just willing to do the best that I can and I'm welcoming the unknown, and probably life knows better than I do.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You talked at some point about manifestation. I don't know if you want to say something like more about the love
That's
relationships,
because
I think we're going to kind of finish soon.
Yeah.
You talked about manifestation. Do you use a lot the law of attraction?
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah. Because that's something I've been looking into lately, and it's very interesting new playground.
Yeah. Well, from what I'm experiencing, the more aligned I am with my life, mostly with my values and with the choices I make every day, the more life is bringing me what I need, like what I actually truly need. Not exactly what I want sometimes, it's tricky, but every time it's what I need.
Yeah.
And I can catch myself now noticing that I have visualized things that are actually happening now because I'm much more aligned with who I am and with my everyday choices.
And just to precise to people, so law of attraction is kind of said to be one of the laws of the universe, which is basically you're going to get what you're going to focus on and what you're going to give.
Yes, what you put out in the world, in your energy, in your words, in your actions, comes back
and
to you.
Intention, yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea is like how I see it is that it's a co-creation. So I'm going to have intention. I'm going to say what I want from my day. But it's not like the universe is going to be like, yeah, you have it. You know, if I'm like, I want $1 million.
Sometimes it does.
But if I do like, okay, I want like be a billionaire tomorrow, it's probably not going to happen.
No, but why would you want to be a billionaire?
Yeah.
Then it's all about the...
Oh, if I want to fly when I jump from a cliff, like the universe is not going to give me... But so there's sometimes I get puzzled about like how much you can bend reality.
Yes.
But there's definitely a lot of room to play with and way more than I thought. But just to go on this, yeah, to me, law of attraction is like, well, first setting your intention is going to change how you behave. So this is like nothing woo-woo about it. Like what you focus on is going to... Like if you smile more to people, people are going to smile more at you. That's just how it works. And this, you don't have to kind of believe in anything. But then the other part of the law of attraction is that the universe is also interacting with you. And when you give this intention, it's kind of playing with you, dancing with you. So it's like a co-creation.
It is. Yeah. I think it takes the whole life to master that.
Yeah.
So let's be patient and try every day, bit by bit, to commit to being our best self and to try to manifest the... what we truly need.
What are your practices of manifestation?
First, I practice being grounded. Mm-hmm. Really, that's very important to me. Like feeling that
then
I'm
your intention
really grounded.
Is true.
Yes. And feeling every day that I'm aligned with my values. This is very important to me. What am I doing today that is not actually serving me? You know? And it goes, I think, a lot with what we said earlier about naturopathy. If I truly listen, if I'm not... aligned, then I feel it. Something's wrong with me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my meditation and clearing my mind. I use a lot the work by Byron Katie.
Okay.
Do you know?
No.
So it's a suite of questions, and I ask myself the questions to inquire my thoughts. Like, is that true? Like, what I'm thinking, is it really true?
Okay.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And also mastering the circulation of the emotions in my body. I do EFT, you know, tapping.
I've heard about it.
Well, I tap on points which are acupuncture points, and it helps me make my emotions circulate.
Can you show me?
Yeah, if you want. Well, the points are these. It's always the same points, and I will inquire where the pain, kind of the pain associated to the emotion, yeah. is located in my body.
Okay.
And then I will just allow myself to like empty it, like okay. get it out with words, like all this anger that I feel okay. in my stomach that yeah. is red and that is burning, and I will just kind of vomit everything outside to let it out. And then I will inquire why this pain is here, okay. what is happening with me. And then I will feel better because yeah. my nervous system will calm down with the okay. tapping plus the allowing myself to speak it out.
Okay.
And then I will find that there might be something else behind. Like maybe I'm angry because I felt I was disrespected, but maybe I didn't say what I really needed. So maybe I could yeah. have acted in another yeah. way, and yeah. maybe there would have been more respect, and maybe I'm also in charge. Maybe I can do differently next time. You see?
Yeah.
So that's it makes a big difference when you can really inquire your thoughts and emotion.
Yeah, because people make sense of things where, and often in the worst case scenario, right? It's like the plumber didn't come, and it's all this story about being abandoned and not being respected. Yeah. Well, maybe he had, you know, something that prevented him. It's not that he doesn't respect you.
No, it's just story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe we were not really explicit that we really needed him yeah. to come at that yeah. time yeah. because then yeah. the whole day was just, yeah, yeah complicated.
Mm. Nice. So what's the next book?
Yeah, the next book will be published in autumn in French. I'm only okay. writing in French for now. One of my books is in German too.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I don't know what's the next step.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
So next step is the book, and then you keep doing your coaching, and then you look
yeah,
you're
the coaching, to I do workshops.
Where the universe takes you.
Yes, and I found out that the more I share what I'm truly passionate about, like for instance, I made in Paris a workshop about love, and it was full because I really share what is interesting for me, and yeah. I'm not the only one being interested in that.
You're in Paris. End of September, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's do...
yes, let's meet in together. Paris.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super keen to shake up a bit the city and help raise a bit the consciousness
yes,
there.
Yes, let's do this. And yeah. also my coach will be there. Like,
nice.
I have a coach which is Australian okay. and he lives in Thailand. And okay. he will be flying to Paris and we'll have okay. workshop together in okay. Paris.
Okay, I'll
yeah.
keep discussing. And so how can people follow you?
Well, I am on Instagram and yeah. Facebook, and I have a blog. Yeah. For now, it's French, but it will okay. be soon in English.
Okay.
Yeah, the blog part.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'll post that also in the show notes. Anything you want to add?
No, thank you. Just thank you for being who you are and being so enthusiastic about love, and thank you for sharing everything you've been sharing with the world.
Thank you, and I have a little tradition
yes?
in this podcast. Can you guess it?
No, tell me.
It's a big hug.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much. I think people will learn a lot from this episode.
I hope
so. Thank you for watching or listening.
Yeah, and dare to contribute.